Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and then skip down to verse 16 and read through verse number 18. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, if you'll just follow along with me. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. Now, these teachings of the kingdom of God that Jesus gave special emphasis to, three special disciplines in this chapter 6 of Matthew that I believe he warned about doing it the wrong way, that the hypocrites, many of them religious people, would do it. They would do their giving, their alms giving. They would do it publicly. They would, you know, the Jews would pray every 3 hours. They had hours of prayer. And so they would, many of them, the hypocrites, they would literally time it so that they would be at the hour of prayer in a public place. They would be in the marketplace or in some place where they would be, it would be noticed. And then suddenly they would begin to cry out to God in prayer with a loud voice. And everyone would take notice, that must be a holy man. But God, the Word of God here warns, don't give like the hypocrites gave, but instead give in secret. And when you do, in each one of these disciplines, the Lord says, if you'll do this as a part of your personal secret relationship to God, then God will reward you openly. Now, that doesn't mean that there'll be some big time when all of a sudden everybody's going to know that He's a giver, or he's a person of prayer, or he's a person who fasts. It means that God will reward you openly because you will see the visible evidence of God working in all of these wonderful areas of your life. So as we start this new year, my challenge to you and to all of us here today is to take these three disciplines and add them to your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, the last part of that verse, it says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And so if we, as we start 2012, if we will develop in our life these three important practices and disciplines in our walk with the Lord, I believe that God will begin to reward us publicly, openly. We will see the hand of God moving in many areas of our life. And when you take prayer, fasting, and giving, and you take that threefold cord, I believe that it will add a real strength and a power, a dynamic to your walk with the Lord that you have not experienced before, because every week of your life, that you are practicing prayer. You are practicing time with the Lord as far as fasting before God and giving to those that are in need and giving to the work of God and giving in all different types of respects. Amen. When you combine those three disciplines, that will provide a cord that will not be easily broken. Amen. The Lord will begin to do some mighty things in your life that you haven't experienced before. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, the warning in each one of these instances was, don't be like the hypocrites are. The hypocrites, the word just means a play actor. Someone who is on a stage and is just acting out. It means that they're playing a part. It isn't real to them. The hypocrites, they did their giving, they did their fasting, they did their praying, they did it all for public attention. They did it all so that they would be noticed by men. And the Bible says in each one of those cases that they had their reward. Otherwise, when you follow the plan of God, then you experience the blessing of the Lord, and God is the one that rewards you, and He'll reward you openly. And we need the favor of God in 2012. I need the help of God in 2012. This local church here, we need the help of God. We need the hand of God. We need that something more, that something extra in our life that we haven't experienced before. And I believe that it can begin by our determining that we are going to be sincere and we're going to be real. Bear with me this morning. Amen. Not like the hypocrites do, who are actors, are stage players. They were literally just playing out a role. And what they did it for selfish reasons, and it was not from the heart. Our praying, it needs to be real. Isn't it wonderful when new Christians get saved? They haven't learned all the Christianese, and they haven't learned all the these and the vows that we sometimes use. And when they pray, they just pray so open and so sincere, just like they're talking to their friend. That's sincere praying. Now, I don't condone disrespectful tone or way of approaching to God, but I do think it's wonderful whenever we can be real and we come to God and we call upon the Lord from our heart. That is what really has power. But you notice that in each one of these cases, there was the warning about the hypocrites. You know, Satan loves, he loves to invade the things that God has provided for the church. He loves to distort it. He loves to change it and corrupt it and to sometimes even imitate it. He does it many, many times. And I believe this is what was going on, that the good was being perverted by men who were not really true followers of God. And so they perverted the right way. Their giving was perverted. Their praying was perverted. Their fasting was perverted. It had no real impact at all in their walk with God. Amen. The thing that really grabs my attention is the promise that's given in each one of these cases that God will reward. God will reward. He will reward openly, that God will move, and you'll see the evidence of the hand of God and the blessing of the Lord by this threefold cord that cannot easily be broken. I really do believe that this will add something to all of our lives, our walk with the Lord. We'll begin to practice these disciplines together in our life, and we'll see the power of God. We'll see a new strength and a new ability that God will give to us, and the joy of seeing God's mighty hand working in our behalf. So this morning, we're talking about the first strand of this threefold cord, and that's prayer. Now, there's not a whole lot that I can add to it because we've all heard lots of teaching and preaching on prayer. And so we just need to get down to the basics of what we're talking about here when it comes to this strand of prayer. Not like the hypocrites do, but instead we are to pray sincere
prayers, real prayers, heartfelt prayers. We're to pray from our heart. We're to pray and call upon the Lord and mean what we are saying. Now, when the scripture talks about that we are commanded to pray, I really believe that God is saying to us, here's this invitation to you. If you'll just pray, I will move. If you will just come to me and call upon me, I will move in your behalf. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It is the will of God. It's the plan of God for us to be a people who know how to pray. And Paul said to the Thessalonican Christians that they were to pray without ceasing, that they were to be continually in this attitude and spirit of prayer, where they don't have to be in any particular place or any particular position, but you can just call upon the Lord wherever that you might be. Amen. And another place in the New Testament, it talks about that we are to give, that those disciples gave themselves to prayer, that there was this commitment. They made an investment of their lives to be a people who knew how to pray. And not only did they pray, but they asked for prayer. Brethren, pray for us. And then they in turn prayed for others. Colossians 1 and 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And so we are to be investing in prayer for the work of God, for the kingdom of God, for the people of God, for needs all around us. And not only that, but we are to be used of, we are to see that there's a wonderful availability of prayer for us, that we ask people to pray for us. Amen. It's a worthy thing. I guess the real question is, why not pray? Why wouldn't we pray? Why wouldn't we take advantage of this when the Lord says, if you'll call on me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'll reveal myself to you. I'll manifest myself to you. Just call upon me. If you'll call upon me, I'll answer you. Why wouldn't we do that? Not only will he answer our prayer, not only does he invite us just to call upon him, but God even anticipates what our need is going to be before we even pray about it, the scripture says. Isaiah 65 and verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Before that the prayer can get out of your mouth, before that you can even express your prayer, God already knows your heart. And before you've even said the words, God is already working. He's already moving. And that just shows the desire of God to meet the needs of his people. And why we are invited to come and to call upon the Lord and to bring our needs to the Lord. Amen. Many things in the scripture that happened as a result of prayer. The Red Sea was opened up. Water from the rock flowed out for the children of Israel. Manna came out of heaven. The sun stood still. Elijah's sacrifice was consumed with fire from heaven. Armies were defeated. The sick were healed. The dead were raised. And even today and down through the centuries, millions of people have been converted and brought into the kingdom of God because of the power of prayer. Why would we not pray? Why would we not take advantage of the opportunity that God has invited us to call upon the Lord? You see, whenever we become a people of prayer, we begin to align our hearts and our spirits with the will of God. Something about prayer that causes you to move into the presence of God and to be closely connected with the presence and the will of God and the purpose of God. Your spirit is aligned with the Spirit of God whenever you begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this may be hard for us to comprehend, but it's the truth that God has determined to not do anything in this world except through men and through the power of prayer. Now, God can do whatever He wants to do. God can work in whatever way that He wants to move. But God's will has been determined that God moves through answers to prayer. Amen. So when people pray, God works. John Wesley said, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. God moves when people pray. Amen. And so the scripture that talks about the eyes of the Lord are searching all throughout the earth, looking for that righteous person. God is always looking for people who will pray. He anticipates the needs of people and is always looking for people who are willing to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. E.M. Bounds, who has written several books on prayer, and they're powerful books, he said, the church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Men are God's method. God works through people like you and me. And when we just come humbly before the Lord, you say, well, I'm not that special of a person, or I'm not a preacher. I don't have any particular calling upon my life. Oh, yes, you do. You have a calling and an invitation to come into the presence of God and to pray. Every one of you do. Every one of us here today, we're invited in the presence of the Lord and to pray. And it's this first strand of this cord that is strong and mighty and that cannot be easily broken. So it needs to be something that is a practice in our life, a discipline that we add to our life here in the year 2012. E.M. Bounds goes on and says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. It's the truth. God works through people who are willing to pray, who are willing to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we do not pray, we limit God. When we do not pray, we limit the Lord and what He desires to do. And again, I understand that we serve a sovereign God and He works at His will. But He has chosen to work through men. He has chosen you and me as a channel, a vessel, whereby that he declares the gospel and preaches the gospel. And we are His hand extended. We're the ones. The gospel goes forth because men hear the voice of the Lord and they listen to the voice of God. Things happen because people know how to pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Know what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. And it's the beginning. It's the beginning in this year 2012 for many of you. As you begin to ask the Lord to make this year something special, something different, something dynamic in your walk with the Lord. You don't want things to be just as they have been, normal and just the usual. But you want to see God do some wonderful, mighty things. You want to see God rewarding openly people who have bound themselves together and are practicing what the Word of God tells us to practice. Not as the hypocrites do, but as righteous, godly men and women that we call upon the Lord and we learn the lesson of Him and the value of prayer. Now in Matthew chapter 7, just turn the page over. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Let's read that. It's interesting that in the Sermon on the Mount, it's only on the topic of prayer that Jesus brings this subject up twice in this one sermon. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11. Matthew 7 and verse 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Five times in these five verses, the word ask. Ask. So very basic, very simple. What is prayer? Prayer is asking God. Amen. It's asking God. And I think we all see the importance and the emphasis is given again in this Sermon on the Mount, the importance of us being a people of prayer and understanding what it is just to ask God, just to come to the Lord and to ask. We have not because we are not asking. Now, it's fine. You know, I have people come to me from time to time and asking for advice, asking for counsel about some particular thing. And I'm more than willing to do my best. But I just want to, before you ever go to some individual and ask counsel, let me just suggest that you ask God. Ask God. Ask the Lord. Because if in these five verses, five times we are told that if we'll ask, it says, everyone that asketh shall receive. And so that just means that if you're willing to step out in faith and put your full confidence in the Lord and ask God, then God will begin to move and He will work on your behalf and in your situation. If you just come humbly, simply before the Lord, doesn't have to be some special flowery prayer. It just needs to be just like a little child. Aren't children wonderful? Children know how to ask. And believe you me, when they're in grandma and grandpa's house, they don't have to do much more than ask when you only see them a few days out of the year. You just do everything you can to please them. You give them everything that you possibly can. That's what you do. Little children, they know about asking, don't they? They know. They have this simple faith, this simple confidence that they know. I heard about the little boy who his dad had been working late and he came home and the wife was already weary with the children. So the dad got the duty of putting the little boy down to bed. So he gets him in the bed and then the little guy says, Daddy, would you read me a story? So the dad's wore out, but he says, okay. He reads him his story. Then he tries to tuck him in again and walk because he has a book that he's wanting to get to. And as he starts down the steps, he hears his little boy say again, Daddy, could I have a drink of water? So he goes and gets the drink of water and takes it to him. And just simple asking, just simply asking his dad. And he knows he's going to give to him. And then he says, as the dad just about gets back to his book, then he says, Dad, I need to go to the bathroom. Could you take me to the bathroom? And here he goes again, asking, and the father comes to meet the need. This time he says, okay, this is it. No more asking. You just need to go to sleep. So he goes downstairs and gets in the bed and gets started on his book, and he hears feet upstairs starting, coming down toward the steps. And so the dad is getting pretty upset, and he goes to the bottom of the steps and he said, now I told you this was it. No more water, no more excuses, nothing else. You don't need anything else. You go back to the bed. If you don't, I'm going to give you a spanking. So it gets real quiet. And the little boy just stands there for a minute considering. And then he says, Dad, when you come up here to give me a whipping, would you bring me a drink of water? Kids know how to ask. Do you know that we need to be like little children when it comes to prayer? We need to be willing just to ask. Just to ask the Lord. I was just thinking as we were going through the various needs and prayer requests. And many of you, I know some of your needs. I don't know all of your needs. But I was just thinking, isn't it an amazing thing that we can just take these needs and we can just say, God, would you change this situation? Would you turn this thing around? And ask God sincerely. And just be in that frame of mind that you have confidence that God is going to answer your prayer. Amen. In verse 8 of this text, it says, everyone that asks, comprehensive, everybody. So it doesn't have to be any particular person, the preacher or the deacon or anyone of any position in the church. It just means you, everyone that asks, everybody that asks. Will receive. It's a certain thing if you have an heart before God that you're willing to ask God. Have you been asking the Lord about some of your worries and your troubles, or have you just been worrying about them? Have you been trying to figure it out and you've come up with your own solution and your own plans? You've not even asked God about it. You need to ask Him. You need to ask Him because He's your Heavenly Father. And He says, everyone that asketh, I'm going to hear that prayer, and I'm going to be the Father that comes to the needs of my child, and I'm going to provide what you're in need of. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can ask God? Amen. And we can call upon the Lord. And my intention today is not at all to get into all of the different aspects and the theology of prayer. I know it's an entire study. It's a wonderful thing, and I encourage you to do it as far as your study. My motivation this morning is just to somehow stir your heart to the point that you realize that you have an invitation from God to come and pray and to ask Him. And to bring your needs to the Lord. And since you do, why would you not bring your burdens and your cares and your sicknesses to the Lord? Ask God for help. He'll help you. He'll help you. The scripture that we read here in Matthew chapter 6, it says that if you'll go to God and you'll pray, just between you and Him. Now, there is a place biblically for public prayer. Many, many places in the scripture. There was public prayer, and I believe it is an important thing for the church to come together, to pray together, and for there to be times of public prayer. But it's also an important thing for each one of us to have a time with God where we're shut in with God, away from everything else, and our minds are not distracted, and we're not hindered. And really, about the only way that can happen is if you do that before you get your day started. If you wait to weigh up in the day, you'll get so burdened down with so many things that are going on. The whole morning will be just kind of, gone. And you won't even realize it. And there's just something special about the freshness of the presence of the Lord, the opportunity that's yours when you just start your day in the presence of the Lord. And I understand that many of you have, children, you have responsibilities. You may not be able to come right here to this location early in the morning to pray. You may not be able because of your work schedule or whatever, but that doesn't mean that you can't start your day with God. Start your day in the presence of the Lord. Jesus Himself did just that. A long time before the sun come up, He was in a quiet place, a solitary place. David said, "Early will I seek Thee," and that there's many other references to the importance of just starting your day before. There's so many other things that push out the things of God, the presence of God, and. You'll lose this precious and valuable time to seek the Lord and to call upon the Lord in the earlier part of the day. Amen. This is strand number one. Tonight we're going to talk about fasting, so please don't stay home. Don't stay home and eat. We're going to talk about fasting tonight. And so please, everybody come, because it's strand number two. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about giving, almsgiving, and to complete this threefold strand. And I believe that if you will allow God to speak to your heart, and you'll begin to build this discipline into your life, that God will change things for you. And our church can see a dramatic change as we begin to see the power of God demonstrated openly in our lives, because we're calling upon the Lord. We're fasting and we're giving in a biblical way to see God do some wonderful, mighty things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just ask Him. Just ask Him. Do you know that getting saved is just that simple? I don't think that you can just oversimplify it, because I really do believe that the gospel is a simple message, and it just requires a simple childlike faith and prayer that just simply says, "Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I know that I'm far away from You, but I want to be in fellowship with You, and I want to know You, and I want to walk with You. I want to understand what it is to have a relationship with You." Would you forgive me of my sins? Ask him to do it. Would you forgive me of my sins? Let me just tell you that today is the first Sunday that my aunt, my mom's sister, that I've asked you to pray for the last 7 or 8 months. Today, she is going to church with my mother for the first time with just a cane. 7 months ago, she could not even lift her hand up to feed herself. She could not walk. And the doctors had said, you're just going to have to accept this. This is the way it's going to be. But my aunt, who all of those many years, a mom had prayed for her other family, had prayed for their family. All those probably 40, maybe more years, 50 years that they have prayed for her. That God saw, and she got into a circumstance. There was a big wall that kept her from ever getting saved. She just wouldn't hear. She wouldn't receive. But now she's flat on her back. She can't even move her legs or her arms. She's laying there with no hope of anything changing. As bad as it may seem, God no doubt arranged that circumstance so that she would be looking up to God, and she called upon the Lord and she got saved. And she's witnessed to so many people as a result of this amazing conversion. She came home from the nursing home just about 6 weeks ago with a walker and was able to just barely get around the house with the walker. But today she's going to church just with a cane. And around her house she's walking without anything to assist her. But she has to have the cane to get up a curb or up a step or something. But today, my mom called me last night and she said, guess what? Barbara's going to church with me tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you do? Well, you just need to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. You're concerned about your loved ones, your family. You're concerned about needs and burdens and things that are overwhelming you. Many times we just carry the burden and we don't take advantage of this invitation to ask him. Amen. Just ask the Lord. Ask him. If you're not a Christian here today, if you're not sure of where you stand with the Lord, ask him to forgive you. He is waiting. He is waiting for your humble prayer. He is waiting. And he is going to rush to bring righteousness to you. He is going to come to you in might and power and reveal himself to you in glorious salvation. Just when you cry out to him humbly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or whatever that your need might be. God knows the needs in your life. Don't carry the burden. Don't allow this situation to weigh you down and to defeat you. But instead, begin the practice of every day asking God. Asking God. Hallelujah. Asking the Lord to change the circumstance, to save your family, and whatever that the need is, let's ask him. Would you stand with me this morning? As we come to this prayer time this morning, as I was praying around here earlier this morning, I was just impressed in my spirit to urge you right now in this service before we leave to think about the most pressing concern that is on your mind and in your heart. Great need that seems to be weighing heavily upon your spirit. And for you and I right now to spend a few minutes asking God to change it. Asking God, amen, to change this situation. And then today and every day, you just keep coming to him. Asking God. And God who is in secret, God who sees in secret, has promised that he will reward you openly, that God will answer and he'll prove himself in your need, whatever that it might be. Praise God. So before we go any further, could we just take a moment or two, a few minutes here this morning? And every one of us, let's just present the burden of our heart to the Lord and ask God to work in our need. Would you do that with me right now? Lift up your voice and call upon the Lord and let's ask God to move in our needs today. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God, what a privilege it is, Lord, to come into your presence. How blessed we are, Lord, to be able to call upon the name of Jesus. And Lord, that we can enter into this time of prayer together as a church. Each one, each individual with their own concerns and burdens, their own needs. Oh God, you know every detail, Lord, of the things that each individual is concerned about here today. Oh God, we are just asking you to change it. We're asking you to turn it around. We're asking you to touch hearts. Oh God, Lord, to stop the direction of some that are moving away from you, Lord. Lord, stop them dead in their tracks. Keep them, Lord, from being able to go any further in this way of destruction. Oh God, we ask you, Lord, to make them aware of their lostness. Make them aware of their need. Lord, in however way that you want to work, we ask you, Lord, to reveal your mighty hand in the lives of these that are unsaved and are backsliders. Oh God, we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to move in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here today, you're not sure of where you stand with the Lord, you want to get right with God, it's as simple as coming to Him in faith and asking for His forgiveness. Asking Him to forgive you and to free you from sin and to give you life and hope through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody that's here today and you want to pray and get right with the Lord, I just want to welcome you, invite you to come here in front of this building. We want to pray with you, whatever that you're dealing with today. God knows about that and He can help you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we do thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The Bible says that nothing is impossible to them that believe. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. May our faith be encouraged. May there be this newfound strength and confidence in God as we pray, as we fast, as we give, and we see God working in all of our needs, openly revealing His mighty power. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your truth that speaks directly to our hearts. We pray for every individual here today, Lord. Lord, that this year, 2012, would be a year of change. Lord, that there would be a dramatic difference in the whole direction of our lives and our ministry and our church, Lord, because that we have developed these disciplines in our life. And Lord, we so need to see your mighty hand revealed. We so need, Lord, to see you openly revealing your mighty power among us. So Lord, do that work. I pray that every man and woman, every young person, everyone, Lord, would begin to allow you to speak to our hearts and lead us, Lord, into this new commitment to you. Oh, we thank you for it. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Lord bless you today. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you tonight.